This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, February 10th, 2011.
Will all the student representatives please take their seats? The time is 4:50, and I'm calling the February 10th Student Assembly Meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Not here.
Unexcused.
Absent.
Who? Desai. Finn is late. He'll be here.
Just kidding.
Who? Unexcused.
Unexcused.
All right. Just so you all know, if you want to use your mics, you have to push the button up top because they're all off right now. So next on the agenda is approval of the minutes. We have the January 27th and February 3rd minutes to approve. Were those sent out?
Yes.
All right, they were sent out. Has everybody had a chance to look at them? Let's start with January 27th. Are there any amendments to the January 27th? Is there any motions?
Motion to approve. Second.
Any dissent? Seeing none, January 27th minutes are approved. How about the February 3rd minutes? Any motions?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve, and there's a second. Any dissent? Seeing none, the February 3rd minutes are approved.
Open microphone. If we have any non-SC members who would like to come to the mic and talk on anything that is not currently on the agenda, please feel free to do so. Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to move to close. Open microphone.
Moving on to announcements and reports. First up, SAORC report by Representative Guarigiani. Why don't you go? You want to go sit up front? Or
yeah,
go ahead and sit up front. So that report is actually in the packet. So feel free to follow along. Yeah. No, wait, they have the official thing. All
right. You guys are probably all wondering what the committee went for the better part of last semester, or for the whole last semester. I'm going to do this in two parts, please. If you could first look at this case. It's after the flowcharts and the diagrams and all that stuff. First, so this tells you that we met a total of 6 times last semester. We spent the first 6 weeks, picking my committee, meeting with Catherine Holmes and the FAO, meeting with Joe CBO, Roxanne Pedestal, and meeting with Ari, trying to figure out how we're going to go about this review process. When I got it, I got all this information, but not really how to review the groups. I've attached the review process, which I ripped out to the program, but I've attached it. You guys might look at it if you want to. Just to detail a little bit, it's conducted in three stages. Step one, we break the groups down into categories. Step two, we review those categories. Step three, we analyze their funding. We also have to approve every new organization before they form. We approved something like 20 or 25 organizations last semester, in addition to the ones we reviewed. I forgot. Sorry, I didn't have that on the agenda because, you know, it's just part of the SAO paperwork that we take on. Like I said, first we break down the categories. We reviewed three groups of categories last semester, or three categories last semester. We reviewed theory groups, law groups, and art, architecture, and planning groups. In addition, we also review Slope Magazine, Slope Radio, and Slope Media Group. We do this. We met with Slope Media just to figure out where their funding lay, like how their funding was allocated, and if they were breaking any SAFU rules, if there was an overlap of purpose, if they were actually one organization instead of four and went over the cap, when that's not allowed, to my knowledge. Pretty much all. We reviewed 58 organizations last semester and started 20 more. That would bring it to a tentative total of 78 for the semester. The committee's target is 210 for this year. So that's how I work through the semester. If you have any questions, I'll take them right now.
So before we move to questions, I just want to congratulate Mohit and thank him on the awesome work that he's done this semester. This is a brand new committee, and he did an incredible job pulling it together with a brand new charge for the student assembly. He's really done an incredible job. So, do we have any questions? Yes, EVP Mensa.
Great job again. You know, my question is, along the lines of, you know, as you reviewed applications for new organizations, did your committee ever come close to making a recommendation that new organization not be allowed to take hold here on campus?
Yeah, I can't remember the name, but there was an engineering group pre-med society, and it came very close to another one that existed. I don't have the name of the list when I go check my records. The only reason we actually approved it is because, one, it targeted a different audience. Mm-hmm. Even though it's an engineering club, it targeted the whole undergraduate body. Mm-hmm. And it had one additional purpose, and that it was going to host events and programming, mm-hmm. instead of just being a forum for discussion. So it was distinct enough from the current engineering pre-med society or the engineering pre-med society that existed at the time. No votes to ever disband the committee came up, an organization came up to the committee. I think that was more just so that organization spoke to us. I think it worked pretty well.
All right, VP Nicoletti.
One add on to that as well. Another thing that the committee kind of does as well is encouraging to disband. They also look for candidates for byline funding as well, so that the SA can consider their entire request as a consortium of organizations. And no specific names at now, but that is also something that the committee has done and worked with groups with over the semester.
I mean, I guess you could say, specific to Slope Media, they asked us if they wanted to go byline. I don't know what they decided to do on that process, but it's something that, you know, Lisa Nicoletti and I definitely spent some time with the leadership telling them what their options were, and we don't know what decision they're going to take.
All right. Representative Brockman.
Yeah, this is what?
You have to hold it in manner.
So, yeah, this is a great committee, and I think you're doing great work. I was just wondering, what is this broad analysis and expense analysis?
All right, yeah, sure. So, expense analysis particularly looks at the first funding per member, and if it's abnormally high, let's say, you know, a couple of hundred per member, which we did find in our 50-year organization so far. Let's say, so we, you know, we do discover something like that. I can't really tell you case what happened. But we look into the SAFU spreadsheet initially, and then we email the groups asking them for a copy of their budget, and, you know, I can't do concrete examples because I can't think of things that haven't happened yet. I can't really foresee anything. The fraud analysis is, I can think of two or three types of fraud that I've been told about by the FDIC when I was creating this process. One is undergraduate student organizations are allowed to book rooms in a lot of places on campus in the name of an organization, but say, you know, professors or graduate students can't. Or I'm not sure about graduate students, but professors have to go through their college. And so some organizations could occasionally be two or three professors and one undergrad and have a name undergrad just to book rooms. That's something the FAO told me about. What else is fraud? That's all I can think of right now, but I do have a list on my computer and I can send that out as well.
And for those 50 cases, were those generally new organizations that you started to review, or have you ever tried to start dialogue with existing organizations?
These 58 that we reviewed are only existing organizations. So we only started dialogue with 6 or 7. We didn't need to for the others. We have all the information through the FAO website, through our FASB data. Or we don't have, personally, I don't think we have enough through the FASB data, and Ari and I are talking about that right now. But we look at their track record, and if we find that there's a problem, then we call them in and ask them for more information. So, Slope Media, we thought there was a huge problem. And they sent us, I can show it to you if you want, they sent us a list of every member and every other team, each and every one of the four organizations, which ones, the ones that were overlapped, it cited which ones they were overlapped in. Saw their budget, their funding per member. And I was invited to go sit in on their e-board, but I met with the director alone first, and then, you know, he alleviated a lot of my concerns and didn't have to talk to them. And if you're wondering about the specific case of Slope Media, if the four groups themselves in total do spend over the cap of the FASB, so then the concern is it one small group of students applying for more money than they are quote unquote entitled to? And we determined that while the leadership in the four organizations works pretty close together and is pretty tight knit, the actual members are different. And really the only time they do share information, members do two things. Say, for example, a conference where Slope Media spending a team to keep cutting the same person that took pictures of running articles because, you know, the person's there anyway. They emphasized that their overlap was mainly content and not members, and their member sheets and listservs and stuff for this. So we reviewed them in the conference. The committee also has a vice chair, Will Girding, and a secretary, Connie O'Connor, that meet with us all the time, and meet with me outside of that to discuss these things. And BP Nicoletti also helps out a lot, just as
All right, are there any further questions? Seeing none, again, Mohit, thank you. Next on the agenda is a Res Life Committee report by Representative Smith.
Okay, if I said new report from North Carolina, as I told them, and we also start with AAP. Essentially, the Minority Organization of Architecture Arts and Planning was debunked last semester after, the advisor moved colleges, and there was a huge, the point is, they're back now. They have revitalized, and on Saturday they put on a great event. There was a lot of turnout. It was a film screening from a film that was created by an AAP alum named Omar Nolan. And he did a film or a documentary called Shape's Grave with being both injured either. And it was in a series of interviews of Cornell students who identify as multiracial and their struggles. It was actually very interesting, and he's still conducting interviews, so it's an unfinished film. So if you'd like to be featured in it, send me an email and I'll shoot something up. So in addition, they will be, or Moab will be embarking on their second project, which will start this Saturday. It is a project to do a restoration of Alpha Phi Fraternity Incorporated, one of their historic homes for the museum. So that's going to be, they're going to start doing that this Saturday, for site visit at first, And so it's a competition, essentially, so different groups could be formed if you're all welcome to join, because you like, you know, if you ever just want to go build something or see how it's done, you can join that group, and the winning design will be built. That's what you're going to say, it will be built. So that's what they're doing now. And in terms of Red Light, so Red Light met yesterday, was our longest meeting yet. And we started out by meeting with Barbara Munner, who's the director of Residential and Event Services, and her assistant director, Carlos Belcote. And they were present to discuss Resolution 43, which I pulled, but they were because they were concerned that, yes, you're more than one student leader. So we discussed a variety of different ways that student input could be had on this. Something that we discussed a lot in great detail was having a bunch of different housing sessions where students are actually leading the sessions, which is something that housing has already been doing this year. But they were talking about doing more of those in the course of the fall, and how to, and we were trying to find a happy balance, because of course, kind of just supposed to keep bombarding first students continually with so many different housing events at, you know, the same time. So that also brought up the conversation of doing virtual tours of the residence hall, which is something they were very receptive to, an idea they were very receptive to, and we're hoping to do sometime in the near future. So that way students can get a better sense of what life is going to be like in those residence halls, instead of, you know, technically illegally sneaking into some of these dorms, you know, when they don't have pride access and randomly knocking on people's doors and saying, hey, can I see your room? Yeah, which is technically not allowed by house rules. So that was an interesting idea. The next topic of conversation we had was the possible merger of the Residential Student Congress with Red Light. This was a topic of discussion that was brought up last year, and the discussion has continued. It hasn't helped so much that Residential Student Congress has been debunked for this past semester, and of course the members who were, or the representatives who were invited to attend did not attend, so we kind of have tabled that discussion, but essentially the committee felt like, so it will be a topic of discussion in the sense that if Residential Student Congress was merged with Red Light, you would eliminate funding them. So that kills to save a little bit of money since we're streamlining it with time. They would still, the membership of Red Light would increase because then it would be composed by default of representatives from every hall council, which includes not only on-campus living, co-op, and also off-campus housing. So the membership of that, and then Red Light would still be able to send delegates to the NEAR crew, whatever, conferences that are held with the younger residents. Anyway, but as I said, since they weren't there, we felt it was best to table that discussion until we actually have some more input from them. And finally, which I won't go into too much detail because we are hearing that resolution later, but we discussed Resolution 55. It's so convenient as we walk through that. I won't go into detail with that. I'll wait for the discussion on that. But we did share it with Director Burton, and he'll of course, at Barbara Mano, he'll share his opinion on that. And of course, as per Jeffrey, Representative Block's request, we did ask about SOAP. And it was relayed to us that SOAP is provided in all public bathrooms. And when I say public, I mean the open ones. So if they're suite style, or if the model type that are in low-rise 6 or in some, or, you know, low-rise 6, then SOAP is not provided in those bathrooms, because they feel people are living in suites, they kind of like, everybody has their SOAP allergy problems and preferences that come up, and that was a conversation. But then committee members brought up the fact that, well, on West Campus, in the suite, SOAP is provided. Mm-hmm. So Barb was really shocked about that. She said, oh, we're going to have to talk to some people and figure out what's going on. So we'll hear more about that.
So will they be removing SOAP from West Campus?
I don't
All right, thank you. That sounds like a lot of work. Thank you, Representative Smith. Next, we're going to go a little bit out of order here and go to Environmental Committee update by Representative Brockman.
Okay. So the Environmental Committee is working on a number of things. Hopefully, we'll get past Resolution 37 when that's before here. But once we do that, we can start focusing on transitioning to taking a look at those environmental impact statements. In addition, what else? We are working on, with the Cornell store and with Bare Necessities, perhaps
disincentivizing the use of plastic bags on campus, thinking about a bag tax or perhaps a combination of substitute or providing a recyclable bag. And there are a few other things, but I know that's a sheet in front of me, so I'll chat in that.
Are there any questions? I do have one comment. Talk to Representative Desai, Reneal, because he did work on the bag tax issue.
So. All
right.
We're working on it.
All right. Sounds good. Any questions? Seeing none, DOE Feng is not here. We are going to move to Appropriations Committee report by VP Nicoletti. Just want to go over the spot?
Yeah.
And we'll be transitioning into Business of the Day, SAORC Special Projects Request, at the same time, since they all have to do with the budget. Budget first, please.
Okay.
So you all should have the budget in front of you. We just wanted to go over it now that we're beginning of the semester to see, so that you all can see how much money is still available, and to see what, you know, requirements we still need to fulfill regarding expenses.
Yeah, so I'll go through it generally, and then I'll talk specifically about it. Okay, so, you know, basically, this is generally our financial position as of 2 days ago, and you can see there are four columns on the budget. The first column is basically what we passed on that first budget passage back in the fall, and then some updated numbers in these accounts as of 2 days ago. Expenditures pretty self-explanatory, and so is remaining balance. There are five general categories that I've lumped all of our expenditure into: general, which is kind of, you know, admin and other general assembly development spending, our committees and Ivy Council and SUNY SA, elections, which is the biggest part of our budget, and additional projects, which is assembly projects, basically that website thing that we passed last meeting, and the special projects account. So overall, we only have 70% of our money budgeted. As you can see, we only budgeted $34,000 approximately out of our $50,000. That was due to a significant rollover from prior years. So currently, we have 28% of our money left in the account. The reason why it's not 50% is because if you look at SAFC admin, all of that leaves our account right at the beginning and goes to their account. In addition, the election spending is underway, and currently we've spent 63.8% of our elections, which is a significant chunk of our budget. So I guess I can start rolling into the special project requests, and I guess I can specifically talk about appropriations, which is, you know, I guess one work on the budget. And basically,
wait, before we move on to the special projects, can you just have questions in general?
Generally on the budget.
On the budget.
Explain that by
why are election expenditures so high? I'm just curious, like $10,000.
Good question. So the Office of the Assembly requires us to pay $2,000 per election that goes into, Ari, I don't know if you want to explain it more, but my understanding is that it goes into, we're renting the system from them, and that goes to their operating budget, but I don't know if that's appropriate. So $4,000 of that, $10,600 goes into that, and the rest goes into advertising, and a little chunk of that goes into meetings as well. But the majority of that goes into renting a system. That
Sun ads as well.
So $4,000 every year goes into a system that we own, an assembly and an office together.
You'd have to ask Ari. Ari, do you want to clarify on this topic?
The online elections used to cost the student assembly $12,000 a year. We determined we could do it better internally, and the amount of service that we provided, we decided was $14,000 a year, and we simply agreed to pay that.
And do any other assemblies pay?
$10,000 less than you
used to. Do any of the other assemblies pay for?
Any of the other assemblies conduct elections.
Like UA or GPSA, they don't conduct elections?
Well, UA is dispensed according to SA's policy, so part of the undergraduate UA elections are elections. GPSA has elections by a council of representatives, and, I'm sorry, employee assembly does, but since their budget comes out of our office,
All right.
We are paying ourselves.
All right. Do you have a
Who pays for the trustee campaign system? That voting system.
That also is our office's budget.
Okay, so are we paying for that as an SA, or is does the TNC have a budget of their own that they pay for that system?
It's just one of the things that the university has made our office responsible for, so it's factored into our administrative budget.
Okay. Thank you.
And so this was something that was addressed at the beginning of the fall, and starting next year, at least I would recommend that you come up with more details on what we're paying for and possible alternatives to this large chunk that's coming out of our budget. That can be had when we do our next rebudgeting in the fall of 7 months. Are there any other questions on the budget?
So what's going to happen with the budget surplus? Is it just remaining the surplus? Are there any plans to utilize that?
Yeah. So at the beginning of the year, the big reason why we wanted to put the surplus is that even though we had $50,000 in the account, it would be, I guess, unwise, or it would be a waste essentially to use all that money in one period. So it's going to sit there until another assembly has use for it, or the next client down the line wants to use that for some project. So one example of that was we took the new website out of that surplus, which we felt was a good project, but essentially we're dealing with a good degree of financial security as an organization.
So if, and that's also, it's open to this assembly as well. If you have a project like the website that you would like to initiate, that money is available.
One additional thing, not unlike special projects, that money is administered by the whole student assembly and not the appropriations. But I guess it would go to them anyway.
And that's why it's not allocated in the budget. Because if we allocate it in the budget, then the assembly would have already voted on it. If we want to tap into that funds, then the entire assembly would weigh in on that decision. So. Okay.
I was wondering if there's any way to reserve funds for something like T4.
Sorry.
If we're going to do another kind of community event, is there any way that I could reserve funds or?
Yeah, and I guess that kind of goes to the last thing I was going to mention before going into the other items on the agenda is that for any of you guys, like, feedback on the budget is really appreciated either in this forum or, you know, personally you can email me, and I'm happy to discuss if certain line items aren't sufficient for our needs and we can change these in the future or even throughout the semester. So that's something that we can definitely discuss. And would be absolutely
in balance. Finn, did you have a question? All right, and we will be discussing next Thursday an issue where we may have to tap into our reserves, but that's an issue for next week that we can discuss, just a heads up. So go ahead and move on to SARC special projects request.
So this is kind of something that we kind of brought up for about 20 seconds at our last meeting of the semester. We were all crammed into that tiny little room with high tempers. But you can see here in the second page of your packet, $600 was approved by the Appropriations Committee on November 29th, 2010, which was the last meeting of that committee for the fall semester. and that was by a vote of 8-4-0, essentially saying that the SAORC committee, which you just heard from Mohit, is being given an additional $600 on the top of the $100 that is needed now currently. That will cover the cost of meetings, including administrative copying and food items for their uniquely long meetings compared to other committees. And so the procedure for this is that because it's above $260, the Appropriations Committee looks at it and then brings it to the full SA. And so the full SA, to reject it, it has to be by a vote of two-thirds of SA members present. So I'm bringing this from the Appropriations Committee.
All right. First on the speaker's list is Committee Reps.
Yeah, so I don't know if everyone remembers from last semester, but I was really upset when I heard about this. If you think about every organization that comes to us with a request of $200, $300, we said that the SAFC couldn't have their shirts because it was a waste of money. Are we really going to take $600 out of our budget to allow one organization to eat pizza for the rest of the semester? I mean, I understand that they're doing a great job and they're looking at organizations and they're doing something that's amazing. And I love Mohit and I think the SAORC is a great organization. But I don't think that's what the Student Assembly stands for. I don't think that any student, especially with the rise in tuition that's about to happen, is going to be happy that we're taking $600 of their money to spend on food. That's just my opinion. I'm just very against this, and I don't know what everyone else thinks, but that's my two cents.
All right. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Danzer. Danzer.
Yes. So, okay. Now, okay. I don't think it really matters one way or another. So, yeah, I support this generally, this student assembly for our committees, especially when they're committees that meet for two or more hours at times that overlap with meals, like the SAORC, which meets Sundays around lunchtime or brunch time. I think offering food is the only way to keep community members at the meetings, otherwise it's just a bunch of SA members sitting around a table, or a bunch of devoted SA members sitting around a table. So, we give the Appropriations Committee money for this sort of stuff because their meetings are unusually long and usually overlap with dinner. I see no problem giving the SAORC the same money for meetings on Sundays around brunch time for, you know, 2 to 3 hour meetings.
I just want to clarify, I guess, my personal position, and that's not appropriate, but just in general, the Student Assembly budget is not for programming, which is very different than all the other filing organizations that we fund, which is mainly for programming. And so if this is for administration, you're going to have an unusually high amount of administrative items. Now, kind of countering that, I think that there is room in our budget. There is slack that we can reduce on some of this personal consumption, but I do think that food is one of the items that can be decreased, but still is essential because we are mainly an administrative body and not a programming body. And not making a distinction on this case, but just want to let assembly members know that that's normally the way that it's interpreted.
Point of information.
Yeah.
How much did we cut SAFC money for not letting them have the shirt?
Zero.
How much was
SAFC was cut $0.
Okay. They received their shirts.
Okay.
They received their
and
shirts.
And how much was the shirt?
$300 request.
$500.
$500?
Okay.
Yeah, a little more than $500.
All right, next on the speaker's list is, you can respond, yeah. Wait, we have a point of information first.
How much did they finish the last semester? It was in September.
Okay. I mean, we spent over our allotted 100. That was because we had our meeting, and I had an $80 bill. I spent $80 on food already, and I had to feed everybody, so I took the hit on myself. And if this doesn't pass, then
all right. Yeah, you can respond. 30 seconds.
All right. Just to throw things out there. For starters, we've met. Our meetings last semester were on the shorter side, so it's 2 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes. This semester, they're going to go into three and a half hours if we have to review close to 250 organizations. Also, the categories we worked in were a lot smaller. There were 17 and 20. The ones coming up are 50 to 110.
so it's a lot more, it all has to get done there because I don't want people to forget. And just to provide some context, at the last SA meeting, and I try to do this as friendly as possible, the last SA meeting, we spent $185 on pizza, which is a third of what I'm requesting in one night alone. The Appropriations Committee has a budget of $900, and I can, and you guys are all welcome to sit in on this, but I can guarantee that our meeting is going to go longer than the Appropriations Committee. We also meet on a Sunday because that's the only day that everyone might really can actually make it. And Sunday is a tough day to request from people. And my attendance has been generally good because of the people. And it's people have been dancers who know what I'm talking about.
All right, thank you. EVP Mensa.
I just want to say, that I'm in agreement with this here, and I was against SAFC what they asked for. They were told last year, that the SA was not really in favor of them buying those shirts, simply because we didn't put it in writing. They tried to get around that, and they came back to us with shirts. And, they can get what they get done with those shirts done with a name tag. And I think that's why we viewed that as waste. But in terms of food, I would just like to point out, that at the long meetings of even the SAFC, they have food, and they'll get food from great food places like Taste of Thai, some other expensive joints too, so just keep that in mind. This isn't anything out of the norm, and if we have our community members willing to come in, give their time up to 3 hours right here, I don't think it's unreasonable to increase this committee's budget by $600.
Next is Representative Kay.
I just wanted to say that the logic of the committee when we were in appropriations was that the precedent was that if we basically said if we're having dinner here, how is it right for us to say that they have to do their meeting? So I guess what the full body consensus can be, if we think that no committee should have food, then that should be built. I think it's either, nobody or everybody, or for at least these long meetings, because I don't think that it's reasonable to exclude others.
All right, thank you. Representative Bajaj.
So I definitely agree with Representative Kay. I think if the president has been is provided at long meetings, then you can't go back and renege on that promise. I don't think the community, as our VP Rapp said, would view this negatively given that there are 3 hour long meetings. That said, I'll recuse myself from both committees.
Cool. Representative, just to clarify also, there are a number of committees currently on SA who use their allotted money to buy food. And then in other representative assemblies, like the GPSA has food at every meeting. But that's just for, there's precedent for this. Representative Jenkins.
Can I call
the question? Yes. Call the question. Is there a second? And there's dissent. Is you dissent simply because you want to say something?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are going to vote to vote. Did you withdraw? Okay, you withdraw. Representative Block. All right. Representative Smith.
Yeah, I just have a couple of questions. So, do you feel like what you did mention that the assembly budget is not for programming, and the assembly budget is not for programming?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm trying to find that interesting. Is that, I need to know, I'm going to ask you these questions, but don't answer that. I just know if this is by choice, or because that's how it has to be. Because it seems to me that as an assembly rule, I think people on the outside looking in and say, well, sure, of course they don't use their budget for programming because they don't do it. Some bad word. Because they don't do that. Well, I mean, I understand, but I'm saying that's a perspective of a lot of people. more about the stuff. But then I go and I say, is it not possible? I can understand reimbursing you for what you think, because it's already done. I can understand that. And then I can see, okay, well, you know, maybe it's how, maybe $100.
One minute.
Oh, sure. But then $600 is actually a little extreme, and I understand the customer and everything. So I'm not totally sure where I stand on this right now. Is it not possible for your committee to assign max duty to people? I see that as a reasonable alternative. I know in the PRB, our board coordinator brings food for us all the time. She makes food for us all the time. And out of the business of her heart, and I just think that's something cheap. That's something that's great. And it's cheapest. Well, cheaper. That's okay. Or have your meetings close to places where you can go downstairs and buy things and use BRB or bring a bag of lunch. I think there's so many different alternatives into spending, because I think we all are cutting corners. I mean, a lot of us are. So I just think it's easier to do.
Yep, you have a minute to respond. Yep, sure.
The community members on, so my first 2 or 3 days didn't have to, because they were not enough. They were only like 45 minutes long. And the community members on my committee largely know that other parts of the committee, other parts of the assembly get food, or other committees in the assembly get food, and speak to what Jen said. You know, I completely agree, it should be an all or nothing case. It does suck to spend so much of our money on food, but at the same time, that's an investment in those. I view it as an investment in the labor of those committees, and it's definitely positive reinforcement, and I can tell you that I would not have the same attendance if
to answer your question before, it's just historically as it's been, and if the assembly wants to explore using our money for different purposes and more going towards programming, then that's something that I think I'd be happy to entertain. I think any representative would be happy to entertain, but I think it's historical. Also, you know, not to the extent of stifling debate, but I feel like looking at our agenda here, there's so many important things, and we're talking about 1.27% of our budget here. So, I mean, I'm not stifling debate, I'm just saying, recognize that there are important things.
Representative Brockman?
Yeah, I'm in favor of letting committees get to be more productive, but I also believe it should be within reason. So my question is basically, why 600?
Oh, perfect. So we'll have at least 10 meetings with the center that we'll have food. So if you added the extra $100 I already have in my budget, that makes it 700. That's 700 by about 14 meetings, right? It's $50 a meal for people. Which, I mean, we generally, when we order like the Domino's deal or something, go to $48, $50, and that's what I base it on. Actually, if you want to make it like $45 a meal, I see that as a
reasonable. So it comes up to like $8 per committee member?
I mean, I can see that.
All right. You still have another. So I would also. While they're calculating that, can we...
So there's 9 people in the committee. At $50 a meal anyway, here, that works out to $5.5 per person. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, the appropriations made in the case of Ty goes in 12 or 13. I'm at $5 a person for the eyes. Take that to back off.
Yeah. Do you have a motion?
Motion to vote.
All right. Motion to vote. There's a second. Any dissent? Seeing none, we will do a placard vote. So if you are in favor of this amendment, remembering 2/3 to reject it, please raise your placards. If you are against this amendment, please raise your hand, raise your placards. If you're abstaining, thank you. By a vote of 13-0-2, it passes.
Sorry.
Yep.
It's what we talked about. No, I wanted to address why there was a negative balance
Oh, yes. Yeah, sure.
That's what I want to address. And I'd say that...
Go for it.
Yeah. So I would say that, I would take responsibility for that because I think we need to appropriately budget how much we're going to spend in the fall semester for food. I incorrectly calculated it as we were doing it. So at the end of the fall, when I saw how much we spent, we had gone over. The reason why you can go over, obviously, is there's lots of funds in there. So basically, we just want $250 to go into that account to just cover that difference and cover any other additional printing. But appropriations won't have any more food for the spring because our meetings aren't going to be long anymore. We have to just fit a lot of byline organizations into the fall, and we reviewed over 75% of them. So those are the next 25% more casually over the spring. What else did we just say on that? Oh, because it's $250, Vince and I approved it by email. And the procedure is to bring it to the assembly, and you can move to bring the appropriations so that they can bring it back to the assembly next week. This is, if we're talking about percentages, this is 0.49%, so it's less than a penny on a dollar of our budget. So, you could consider bringing it back to appropriations, which will probably bring it back here. So, we can have discussion on that as well. If people are angry because more money came out than the budget, I take responsibility for that.
So, are there any questions? Seeing none, we're moving to the next portion of our agenda. Let's move straight to the Resolution 55, making student housing equitable. I think that's why Director of Housing Burke is here. And those are all the freshman representatives, Block, Kay, and Leonardo.
We can still... Yeah. Sorry.
All right. So you have 4 minutes. Four minutes to present your resolution, making student housing equitable. Take it away.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. So basically, one of the things that we've had a problem with is talking about how equitable housing is on campus. Obviously, we're not going to. No one's going to want to charge different rates for different housing just because we want to make one big, happy, turn-on community. But at the same time, there are differences. There are clear differences. And the three dorms that we focused on were the townhouses, low-rises, and high-rises. And that's basically just based on tracking sentiment of which dorms are the worst ones, and also which ones have the least sense of community. So if you go to a place like Dom, you have things like Dom and Games or pictures of a similar thing. But in the high-rises, there's not really as much community, especially, and I know in the townhouses that's been a big complaint that people are stuck in the townhouses. If you're not an athlete, it's not really a dorm experience. And so I got this idea actually being on the student advisory committee at Resolute. And basically what the idea would be to increase the amount of money that the hall councils get. So right now I know for high rises we get $250 a year. So we're not talking about like a huge increase in money here. And basically the idea is to try and make more programs for these three dorms that will that'll help the sense of community and try to make it more equitable. Because perhaps maybe you won't have the best living accommodations, you don't get those. But you can get other things that will make up for that in the future.
Also, in the resolution, we made it, we recently said that we didn't specify a number of how much we wanted the budget to increase by, because we think that obviously in the same administration should have a discussion with us about it. But we do think that an increase is almost necessary to make it more enjoyable. I mean, if we're going to put the caring community and we're not such a disparity between the new dorms and the old dorms, and just the quality of our students and all of our students, I think that increasing budget, a reasonable budget would be helpful.
All right, is that it? So we are now going to move to a speakers list. And note, this is still new business, thus We are not voting on this today, and questions only, but I'm going to be leaning in the questions only if you do have a comment. First is Representative Smith.
Okay, point of information.
Yes. All right, I'm going to entertain that motion with a caveat, just to say that this resolution just came up, and generally it's courtesy, I see that Director Burke is here, but generally it's courtesy to send this resolution to the parties which are going to be affected. So I know, luckily, it was able to pass through your committee and all that stuff, but just know that usually we like to pass these resolutions on to the people who they're going to affect, and since we only have about 2 days. Yeah, please respond. Yeah, I think that's very important as well.
So
you can dissent, and so we. Yes.
The only reason I'm offering it, if I may clarify, is simply because I don't think I can hear any questions.
Oh well, no, that's fine. Don't worry about just the question thing. If you have comments and suggestions, please let them know. All right, that's why. Don't be rude. Yeah, so open discussion is fine. Representative Smith.
Okay, great. All right, so I'll just tell you, I'll just briefly go through what Red Light went through yesterday, and I invite Director Burke to answer any questions that residents have. So, the committee reviewed Location 55 at Hawthorne, yada, yada, yada. The committee was unsure how an increase in the Hall Council budget to directly contribute to an increased feeling of community in the residence. Immediately, the group began to brainstorm three events that are conducted in other residence halls that have been largely successful. For instance, one member brought up open mic nights in the jam, Gotha brought up the president of Sassoon's game in the jam, where an RA actually did by email, said if a resident wants to participate, you know, they give another resident a black dot and they assassinate them. And it's been hugely successful family event free. Also, the committee went further to say that it would be difficult to figure out where the money was going to come from. And I'm sure Director Burke can probably say something about that. However, as the invited sponsors of the resolution were not present, many of the aspects of the resolution were left not here. So we also discussed how it seems like programming is really up to the RA and DRGs, and when it comes to the actual hall council meeting, number one, a lot of those don't have hall councils that are actively meeting what they should be. But programming then up to the students. You know what I mean? But the budget is set by the RHC. So we're wondering, would it not be possible just to maybe sit down with the RHC or your RHC or whatever and maybe discuss different programming options that haven't been explored just yet? Because I think the committee also felt that you could find other way of better programming ideas if you sit down and have conversations about it instead of just immediately
and that's time. So I'll let the group respond, and then Director Burke, I'll let you respond as well.
Okay. I'm just going to answer kind of why we thought the money, an increase in money was appropriate. So first, my question is personal experience. So we went to our first fall council meeting, and we have a budget of $250 for the entire year. Basically, a lot of people are immediately turned off. Let's be correct, that $250 is what is in the month. So we have a budget of any program that would be budget. I know Donald did a Donald program. And it just for many people, it seemed like that wasn't enough money to actually get something done. And you know, I really felt that if you give students more money, they'll be more actively involved. You'll have a wider range of opportunities. Also, what I was told, and the way they made it sound is that if you have money in your hall council, it can also go towards necessary improvements in the dorms. So, for instance, in our hall council, we did talk about soap, and they were like, oh, if you want to spend $250 on soap, you just want to cook. And so the idea is not only for programming, but also if in some of these dorms they need or want improvement, that they can go about and do those on their own. I know one of the big things
30 seconds.
High-rises one is paper towel in the bathroom, because right now we have, like, obnoxiously loud hand dryers. And so that's something that...
Ooh, what's the environmental committee going to say about that?
One point, though,
All right. So I'm going to let Director Burke answer any questions, or if you have any comments, please.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me know. So I appreciate, first of all, the way you approach it. Thanks. Just work together and that kind of thing. So, I mean, first thing, yes. I think it's
competitive. Okay. You can have to retract everything else.
Yeah. There you go. And I appreciate the reasonable approach. Yeah, and your concern about student money. Without sort of singing a sad song, we've all had budget cuts. I've had to cut the program budget by 3%. So, yeah, there's a scarcity of money. But having said that, I'm very willing to sit down and look at trying to come to some sort of agreement about what would be a reasonable amount of money. But I think more importantly than that would be, you've got ideas that will bring people together. You know, the cost of money, okay, we can work with that. But the main thing is that you've got some ideas that are still community and these residents. And I fully agree with you. I think the townhouses and the low rises and the high rises are the hardest places because of the geographic way they're set up. Structurally, they're set up. Structurally set up, it's very, very difficult. So I'd be very, very willing to sit down and talk to you and try to work out some ideas and try to come up with a few more bucks here. For sure.
Thank you, Director Burke. Also, you should look into the Community Center Councils, which is a byline-funded organization from which the Student Assembly funds, and they can also help. They should be included in these discussions. So,
if I can make a comment.
That reminds me.
Yeah.
The RSC also.
In the Residential Student Congress, yeah.
Let me know if you want to meet with Community Center's Councils, because I'm meeting with them tomorrow afternoon.
Can I make a comment?
Please. All right. Next is a community member, Brittany Rosen.
I was wondering if there was anything my fault wasn't on that list, because I don't know if you can see it now, but when I was a freshman, Vault was, we had absolutely no summer camps. And I was wondering if there was anything we were going to walk after. And compared to my friends who lived in other dorms, like Donlin or Gibson, they had a huge summer community, and I feel like Vault might be over. I probably agree. I've been involved a lot, but I think we could definitely like talk about talk to people who are involved. The only issue that I can foresee is that there are, someone I just understood, like larger rooms, bathrooms, fabric is here, and that's what a lot of people who are put involved don't choose. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think what we're talking about is like this very uncommon accommodation and involved. I think that at least, girls who live there have bigger rooms.
And girls who are single. I mean, there are girls who have four doubles involved that are smaller than
us. Yeah, Director Burke?
I appreciate your point that, sorry, I didn't have a good experience. I do think, though, structurally, the difference is these vaults and the double loaded cord with the traditional kind of style. Low rises and the townhouses architecturally, that makes it that much more difficult. So part of the problem is that there are, and I apologize for that, but do better.
All right. Next is Representative Bajaj.
So I was in Donlin, so I definitely got a good experience. And in that community aspect, as a
same time, I think I did have friends freshman year that did have good experience living in the suite style and the high rises and even the low rises. And the point I wanted to make that was there, some of the program houses are in the same style of housing as low rises and the high rises, like HILC and JAM. And I feel like even better than Dauntless were these program houses, and that there was a sense of funding that they had, the community that they had, was spectacular. So I think maybe a administrative look at the issue, not in the form of a resolution, might be better, because you're right, there are disparities in the sense of community. But I just feel that if the title of this resolution is making student housing equitable, and I don't feel that it would be equitable to increase the hall council funding of some dorms at and not do that across the board. Because I know I was on hall council for Dauntless. We were under very similar constraints. And I just feel that though it is a necessary, or though the administration should look at community and making sure that the freshman experience is good for those living in the townhouses and high rises and low rises, I feel like it could be done in a better way that doesn't make it unfair for those that are on the hall council for Dauntless and the other residential halls. That said, my other concern is that even if you divorce that situation, my other concern is that what we saw on hall council, even in Dauntless, was even when we put on events that we paid for, people wouldn't come to them. So my concern is making sure that there are, if this was passed, that the events that they would be funding are well attended. Because we don't want to, as Ulysses said, we're in a kind of austerity, and spending money on events that aren't prescribed to is the worst way to spend money. So I guess those are my two caveats. If first, I think we should look at other ways, and if it is passed, we should ensure that there are methods and attempts to make sure that these events are well prescribed. That was my question.
You 30 seconds.
I agree with you. Is there another way that we can make the housing more accessible? Because it's really just a living situation. I personally live in Jason, and I don't mind it at all. I just like my students and the style of living. But there is perhaps a big disparity between my friends who live in K versus my, this is the accommodation. And there has to be, I think the administration and students really need to work on having some sort of communication about what can be done to make it more affordable. It's not, I don't think our intention would be to take anything away from the Dauntless, but obviously it also involves the same pot of money. But it's just the reality is the experience is so different because the accommodations are the architecture just isn't conducive to the patient's experience, but it's more like Dauntless.
So I would also just say, without taking a specific stance on this resolution or the wording of it, just you did mention the first point of bringing it down in the form of resolution, and I'd say that's a good way to communicate both officially with the administration and with students whether you want to bring it to a vote. That's the choice of the chairs or the sponsors of the resolution. But it's a good way just to demonstrate to students that we're working on this issue and to demonstrate to administrators that we'll be working on this issue.
So.
So no. I'm not taking a specific stance on this, on what the resolution says or anything like that. But I'm just voicing support for some type of resolution as a form of communication, and that'd be on any issue, whether it's on this issue or a SOAP issue or any type of issue. It's our official way of communicating as an assembly that we are working on this issue. Just for the record. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Proust.
Transfer, I never had the experience to actually come to North Camp that often. First semester, reading the semester. So I don't know anything about what the residential situations are for those three dormitories, but I do know for dormitories that have a lot of transfers, Schuyler, Edgemore, the ones in College Town, and the West Campus, that's a very strong sense of community. And I think the ones in College Town do as well, except in the case of Schuyler and Edgemore. And I know that even hosting more events like Uno, ice cream socials, having movie nights, having poker nights, those didn't help the situation. I mean, I think it's just, I don't know if adding more money to a budget is going to be the solution for it, but it has to be addressed. So people are going to be miserable in those situations for another semester. And I don't know exactly what that answer is, but I'm just weary of spending more money on the problem that we are going through budget cuts, and I don't know if that's actually going to help the situation, because I didn't see that happen in college time with my transfers, and I don't think it happened. I don't know if that will help the freshman community at all. But that's my number one concern, is that adding more money to a budget is going to solve the problem, because money's always the solution. So I just don't think that's the case.
I'm gonna move to one more speaker, and then you can respond to two at once. Representative Danzer?
So I actually just have a bunch of questions. I'll start though by saying that I, as a former Jamison resident, I have to go to the United States to some of these things. It is what it is. So, actually, before I start, are any of you on one of the health councils for any of these three?
I was.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. All right, so do all the dorms on North get the same $250 right now?
The way it was told to me was that it's a per person basis, so that, per each individual community you get a certain amount.
Okay, so it's based on, I guess, it's proportionate to the population of each dorm. So Donovan, I guess, would have had more money. Okay. And then have you spoken to any of the councils yet about if they could do something with more money or what they would do with that?
I mean, I think the problem that is, especially in the Kairos, we don't even have really an active council, just because, having gone to the first couple of meetings, people just didn't seem that interested in, trying to budget out $250 to spend the entire year. And it ended up being a lot more of, we should do this program, but then the question is, well, do we really want to spend that much money this early on? Because we have such a limited supply. So there were so many talks about trying to budget our money properly that we really didn't get focused on enough money.
And then one more thing is my understanding from Ulysses, Representative Smith, I'm sorry, is that the RHDs are the ones that apportion how much money each council gets ultimately. So have you spoken to any of the RHDs about maybe seeing if they could even just push more money towards them rather than, because I think at the end of the day, if RHDs see that, if the RHDs have that control and they see interest in the council, it wouldn't be a tough sell to have them provide a little bit more money to make it a more better experience. So I was just wondering if you approached any RHDs.
I know we haven't, but I mean, I think that part of the reason why we introduced this legislation was just to get some ideas and feedback on.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good idea.
Also, getting the administration involved, and I don't think it comes down to the money of it, but as Representative Locke said, we could their money to get filled, that would be, something. That would be a help in some way. There's so many differences that there should be some sort of compensation. Students should know that if they're living in one of those three categories of stores, which aren't, that are more.
And I would like to say that your speaker sound is exhausted, so sorry. Next is Representative Finn.
Further, I just wanted to mention the boldness of the last year's for the Evolve Club. It has with that, I just want to know what criteria are you trying to look at to figure out what a reasonable increase would be. Two, just a general range of what that reasonable increase may be, not the exact number, just the general range. And three, where this money is going to come from. Is it going to result from increased tuition, or
just
transfer payments from some other
sections? Right. So when we originally ran the resolution, one of the things that we originally thought of was just doubling the amount. And then we realized that wasn't really reasonable, just by choosing a random number. But really, when you're only getting $250, a doubling of it, an extra $250 per year, wouldn't be an extreme amount of money, I think. And I think that in terms of where we get the money, I know that housing was 4% this past year, or for next year it's going up 4%. I don't know how much exactly that is, but I think that we can find a couple $100 with them start to do something helpful.
But on the flip side of that, I think that it's very important for students. I would not want my housing rates. I just don't want any more planning and more. I'd rather keep the 250 budget for members and not have to pay more out of pocket, because maybe I won't go to all these events. But I think that the really what the administration could do with that is to look at the full budget for all the doors and talk about how we can maybe compensate for the restyling and still have a
All right, thank you. And the last person on the speakers list, and then we'll end debate for this week, is going to be Representative Bajaj on this resolution.
Sorry, quick question. You mentioned that pricing housing based on perceived quality is only going to get into the community. I just had a question, I guess, to the director as well. Has it ever been discussed in the administration to kind of tier housing based on the cost of living and the cost of living experience and so on and so forth? Because I do know that other universities, I think Stanford University, have like proven to do that. So I was just wondering if the administration had any input.
There's been discussion about charging more in certain residence halls than other residence halls. Is that where you're trying to get?
Yeah,
and I appreciate the fact that resolutions just don't do that, and I personally would oppose it. I mean, this has been a discussion to charge. It's not gone anywhere, but for example, to charge people more on West Campus and on North Campus. But I think as soon as you start to do that, you start to use this tiered system, it starts going to discriminate bad kind of way. So, yeah, there has been a discussion, but it hasn't gone anywhere.
I completely, I think that the question has been about who would agree with what should be charged of our state. I don't think that people by lost to use in 48 hours if the pricing was much significantly higher. It is a living situation, and it's the people who make the most effect of it, regardless of how much funding is available. But I think that there is, it can be helped. The situation can be helped somehow.
Right. And so with that, thank you, freshman representatives, especially since we're here on North Campus. So I think this is a very pertinent issue. So thank you for presenting this resolution today. And Director Burke, thank you for coming. You're more than welcome to stay for the rest, but you understand. We are actually going to do two things. First, we're going to do an elections update by DOE Feng, and then we're going to... What?
I can finish my update.
Oh, did you have an update? Oh, an environmental. We actually had your update. You're right. Right. We did do. All right. Go ahead. You got 45 seconds.
Okay. The environmental committee is also working on a special project. We are currently scouting out different locations for a recycling and trash bin to have perhaps the student assembly logo on it in a high traffic area of campus. In addition, we are working on a resolution to submit a survey from this assembly to all Cornell undergrad and graduate students. And the survey will be simply five questions about paper usage. Do you throw out your syllabuses? Do you mainly use electronic? And we'll use that data to formulate a request to the Faculty Senate that they instruct all faculty to go electronic, because we presume the response to that survey will be everyone throws out the syllabuses and the paper assignments, so stop printing.
All right, thank you. Any questions?
Sure.
Great. Seeing none, we are going to move to elections update by DOE Feng. Here, do you want the wonderful?
Sure. So we've been making a pretty good push in terms of making sure people are informed. There's been a lot of emails going through relevant listservs. Most of the violent funded organizations have already been hit. And then a lot of the SAO organizations that are kind of have some sort of political inclinations, Cornell Democrats, Cornell Republicans, International Affairs, mock trials, stuff like that, have also been hit. We just set up a Facebook event as well. If you want to join, please do join. In terms of how many packets have been taken out, it's unclear to me just because there's no more packets, right? So people are really just doing it online, so it's hard to get engaged in terms of how many people are running. But right now, I think the general sentiment is that people are at least knowledgeable about it. And if any of you guys are running, deadlines coming up, when that?
Any questions?
just want to add that I was talking to a freshman who decided he was going to run just because he got an email and a listserv, so good job with that. And I'm assuming there's more than one that's going to do that because you hit a lot of listservs, and I saw it in multiple places. I saw it in multiple places, and all my friends were like, stop spamming me, I say it's fine. Yes, you did a great job with that.
So now there's also Facebook.
By the way, for help a lot.
No, the entire elections committee. So let's round of applause for that. Sorry for making it hard on all you who want to get reelected, but that's the nature of the game. And if you want to invite your friends to the Facebook event, seniors as well as people who are going to be running, I suggest you do that. It's all there. I invited all of you. So if you're my friend on Facebook, then go ahead and do that. Resolution 51, addressing women's issues through internal changes to the student assembly. That's Representative Danzer and many others. Representative Rapps, Jenkins, and it all. And also, I would like to say that Resolution 54 will not be covered because the sponsor has had to go to Washington, D.C. at least today. So, this is our last resolution to discuss for the day.
All right, I just want to make two notes. First of all, the resolution currently in this packet is not the updated version that we amended last week, so it would be something that are familiar.
Where is that version?
I don't know.
Were you able to forward it to...
Oh, yeah, I sent it.
All right, thanks.
So, all well on that, but what you see before you has been amended as we did last week. The second thing I'd like to note is that being that there's 15 people in this room right now, and this can't pass without a minimum of 16 yes votes, we will preferably be tabling this just after a brief discussion. Otherwise, there's not any chance that this can pass. And then before we go into questions or comments from my colleagues, I just wrote up this little thing the other night. What this resolution is and what it is not. It's not a total no.
But you must present it in rhyme.
And I was reading out in the poem today. Anyway, take your own poem. So what this resolution is, it is a way to bring women's issues to the table on a sustained basis. I think that one issue we've all recognized is that women's issues kind of come and go as you have people that express interest on the assembly, as people are able to resurrect the Women's Issues Committee on this assembly. But it's very, very jittery. It's not very sustained. And, you know, the reason why a lot of our issues are always in the front lines of the exec or the e-board or President Corbin or random administrators is because we have people devoted to those issues. And so it's an attempt to create someone devoted to that issue on a sustained basis. The second thing it is creating a point person for women who don't know where to go. And I'll refer to a meeting that President Andrews and Vice President Rapps and I had this week with a student who, for all intents and purposes, didn't really know where to go with an issue that she had and ideas that she had for making women's issues better. And so rather than, so she went to the president of the student assembly. It shouldn't be up to the president of the student assembly, which is generally, I think we accept it, a more administrative, a more behind-the-scenes role. There should be someone that student can go to that they know will be interested in those issues, that they know will give them the time of day. We're lucky to have, you know, the members of the student assembly and the president of the student assembly that we have right now. But if, you know, in a year or two or five, the person's not as amenable to women's issues and doesn't want to give that person the time of day, they may not. And so having a position for women's issues kind of creates that point person. What it is not. All right, a vote against this resolution is not a vote against all women on campus. I just want to put that out there. I don't want any of you to feel guilty voting against it if that is your choice, or abstaining if that is your choice. I just want to make clear that this resolution is a way to solve women's issues, hopefully, and to solve issues that the student assembly has, but it is not a personal attack on anyone or anything. The second thing is that this is not only about violence against women and sexual assault. I know that it may seem as though this is kind of a reaction to instances of sexual assault on campus, forcible touching, rape on campus, but that's not what it is. And I forgot to bring this with me, actually, but Representative Jenkins, Representative Vice President Rass, and I went to the Women's Resource Center meeting this past Tuesday, and we spoke to them about issues that they see on campus.
for women. And included on that were, yes, issues pertaining to sexual violence. But also on that were many other issues, including some of the things. I mean, right. So problems in the grief. Right. That was one of the ones I really wanted to highlight. Problems in the grief system. So whether it be the way fraternity brothers view women, or the way sorority rush goes and sorority pledges, which is a major issue, and you know, people can become traumatized and things like that. So that was one issue that's not sexual violence related that is important. Another one was creating safe spaces, which is not something we generally think about, but creating spaces where women who have gone through traumatic incidents or women who have been through sexual assault can go to talk to people who have gone through similar things. So I'll hand this off before I capitalize, take all our time. But I just wanted to give that little rundown.
Unless there's a motion to extend.
Yeah,
all right.
You have much to explain. A lot of different people about this, and there's a sentiment on campus that the student assembly doesn't represent women, and that because we are 50% of this university, not only do we need someone looking out for them, it doesn't necessarily have to be a woman, but there should be a place for people to go and to bring a different idea to the forum of the student assembly. So a lot of people ask me, well, what happens if global warming becomes the biggest issue on campus? Are you going to have an environmental issues chair, representative, besides just having the chair? And I think there's a difference between identity, gender, race, and everything like that, than there is about issues concerning things happening on campus or in the world. We have chairs and we have committees for that, but we have the LGBTQ representative. We have the multicultural representative. Why don't we have a women's issue representative? If it feels like that's being underrepresented on campus and it's going to bring a different perspective to our talk, I don't see any point in not having that, especially when we just added three additional undesignated at-large seats to our student assembly for that purpose, to bring new conversation and to get involved in the issues we care deeply about.
So I guess
we'll just so the process here, as Representative Danzer pointed out, we don't have enough people to vote on this resolution concerning that topic. I know you all received my email that I sent out at the beginning of the week. I've spoken with the SA clerks, and they're going to be taking extra attention to when people walk in, when they walk out. Half absences are going to be marked, both excused and unexcused. And to let you know, there is very little leeway in the charter regarding absence policy. When you hit the absence mark, your term, your representative status is revoked. So keep that in mind. We will be sending out a reminder on how many absences you have. But the trend for these first three meetings has been pretty scary. But this is, maybe it's just a slow start, because last semester I think they did a great job at attendance and showing up to all the meetings. So hopefully we can get over these first few meetings and get to it. So, are there any questions for the resolution? Representative Smith.
Okay, just a question.
Or comments, anything you like.
No, correct. Yeah, when this was first brought up, I was immediately on the fence about this. Not necessarily because of the religious or having more recognition for them or anything like that, but simply because, you know, part of me was still kind of bitter about adding 4 feet to the assembly that weren't designated to, I don't know, colleges, who only have one room to go. But that's another story. So, But no, I really feel like the initiative and the intent behind this is just absolutely wonderful. I think it's warranted, or more than warranted. I do think we are quite behind in the direction she got used to be. And, you know, a general critique of the assembly itself, and I have not been shy in saying it. And as I told Natalie and I told Daniel over and over again, I think we have absolutely failed as an assembly. Of course, you have brought forth some great initiatives. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying at all. But overall, as being the body that is supposed to be out there within the community, I don't know how many of y'all ran on that whole campaign last spring. We going to take it to the community. Like, take it to the students. Take it to the people. And how did that ring start?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Attendance at committees is dismal. Attendance at our meetings is ridiculous. It's so bad that our own members don't even show up. So I think this is at least a great step in the direction of trying to acknowledge a group issue specifically, giving them somebody that they can go to, a point person at them so that they can go to, a safe, creating safe spaces for them. And then maybe, just maybe, God willing, somebody, please, please, hopefully this will lead to us as an assembly functioning how we should be, actually doing stuff for the groups that we say we're supposed to be representing. So I'll stop before I get upset, but yeah.
It's part of the Halloween.
Yes.
Crazy lower.
Womp womp. That's it.
So I'm not going to comment on the resolution. I'm going to remain neutral chair. But I would like to disagree with some of the sentiment that Representative Smith has brought out. And I think that we've been one of the most active and engaging assemblies in at least recent history. Though we have a long way to go, I agree. But in relative terms, I think we've done pretty well. Representative Bajaj.
Mr. Chair, President. So my comments, I have a few points that I wanted to talk to. You already know my opinion on this issue. Again, I want to preface my comments that I did last time. I respect all of you. I respect voters for sure. And I've had to deal with this on a personal basis before with some of my friends who were affected by sexual violence on campus. And that's what I want to start out with. I think Vice President Rapp said it's not, or Representative Danza said it's not in response to the violence on campus, and I think that's definitely not true. There has been so much, sexual assault, sexual violence, all the different incidents of this last year. I feel like characterize the sentiment against women on campus. So I think that the reason why that this resolution is on the floor is in response to that, and that's not a bad thing. I think it deserves our response. It deserves our 100% effort to do everything we can to make sure that, if you have a Cornell student walking home from Europe on their way back to West, they're not, forcibly touched. That's something we should be focused on. However, I still feel that delegating marginalizing this very important safety and security issue to the purview or the concern of one individual on the forefront is the wrong way to go. I feel that the reason why we have the minority seat, the reason why we have the LGBTQ seat, the reason that we have the international seat is because those are small sectors of our Cornell campus. The minority population is, I don't remember reading the last report, but it's small as compared to the rest of the population. The LGBTQ population, I don't know if Andrew knows, but it's very small as compared to the whole population. So you need representatives for those different subsets of our society to act on their behalf. However, women make up more than 50% of our bodies. That's not to say that we have the best women representation, that we're dealing with the women's issues in the correct way. Of course we're not. That's why there's been the incident that I referred to earlier. But creating a seat for over 50% of the population isn't the right way to go, I feel. I think that the ready compromise, the best way to go about it would be to create a different sort of position, a liaison position of some sort that would work with the women's youth organization.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. I'll go backtrack a little bit. Given that, like I said, there must be something done. And one way that I've seen success in the past in other organizations is to create liaison positions that don't necessarily receive a vote on the student assembly, but can still survive. LEQ Smith did represent handheld to the best of her ability last semester, and I think she did a great job at that. And there are other ways to go about bringing those issues to the forefront that don't sort of give it to just one person. And having the Women's Resource Center be more involved in a partnership with the Student Assembly is something I think we can work towards. And having some sort of interaction through a liaison position would be the better way to go about it.
So I think that you bring up a good point. There's a motion on the table right now that I'm going to entertain.
I want a motion to adjourn because I think this resolution deserves the attention of the whole Assembly and not 8 or 10
or 12 right now. If we have, if one more person leaves the room, we lose quorum.
I just want to respond briefly to the comment, and then we can just, then I'm fine.
That's fine.
So, is that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, I think part of what you were saying were quite right, but I think the issue in my view is putting a non-voting liaison is, look around the room, how many of our non-voting liaisons are here right now? None. And even when they're here, very rarely do any of them speak, and even when they do speak, rarely are their views taken into full consideration because they don't have a vote. And so, whether it's psychological or otherwise, I generally feel like non-voting liaisons are actually a better way to marginalize an issue on the student assembly than anything else. It shows as though we pretend we care, but then it doesn't work. And this was, I mean, this has always been an issue on the assembly. You know, whether this is the perfect response, whether this is the perfect solution to the issue that they have, is a good question. I think it's the best available response that we can think of at this point. I mean, we can always strive for perfect ideas.
20 seconds.
Sure. We can always strive for perfect ideas, but at the end of the day, if we keep doing that, we're never going to actually do anything. We're going to keep trying to find better and better ideas. I think this is a great way. You know, if we find that this is necessary in 5 years, then the SA will get rid of it. But I think this is a really good way to put a response on the table and have something that's workable and that, you know, solves, that does a lot of the things you brought up. Maybe not in the perfect way, but in a very good way.
So I'm going to move back to the motion here to adjourn. I think this is a debate that we should come up, that should come up again when we have the full assembly here. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the assembly meeting is adjourned.
Oh, and I know I sounded really joking with you guys on all the technical things, but I do respect the community when you come in. I actually feel like we have
great initiatives,
but I think we should communicate.
Talking about initiatives, make sure that I know elections are coming up, but you keep working on your initiatives. You keep working on those initiatives, and if you have any comments about attendance, please let me know because I'd love to hear them.
But remember what we talked about with being bound up in that.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.